Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill on Together in Unity. Now here is Pastor Bill.
I want you to know that every seat in this building has been prayed for. This last Wednesday night, people gathered. In fact, you may recall that last Sunday, if you were here, I asked for 100 people to show up to pray with us. And the last count, the count that was given to me, the final count was 142 people showed up to pray over this auditorium and the ministry of Portland Christian. Isn't that great? Come on, let's give the Lord a thanks. You say, well, I missed out on that one. Well, we're going to have another prayer time this Wednesday night. You're welcome to come back and be a part of that prayer gathering. And it'll be the final one for the month, and we'll be focusing in on the future. So praise God for that win, 142. With students, and all, there were well over 200 on campus. The students were outside underneath the sky, and they were seeking the Lord. And Pastor Jason told me that at the conclusion, there were more than half of the students who showed up were at the front in God's altar seeking the Lord and asking God to do work. Children's ministry were doing something similar and having a great time. There were students everywhere, and there was a great feel here. And I just feel the presence of the Lord in a unique way because people prayed. And thank you for your continued prayer on Mondays. And another win is that we received, and we'll do this in some form so you can meet them, 17 brand new members to Portland Christian Center. Isn't that through the growth track? 17 new people. They joined us even though they met you. They still say, I'm coming anyway. I just encourage you that the board has been working through the process, and they're making great headway. So I felt like maybe I should just set the stage a little bit. So there were 21 potential people who could possibly be the lead pastor of Portland Christian Center in the future. So you have to sort through that. And there was a Holy Spirit-given profile to follow. And so now we're just down to a small handful of names. And will you be in prayer with us as we work through that process? Board's doing a great job. They're very diligent. It takes a lot of extra time, and but nobody's complaining about it. They are seeking God, and we're praying, Holy Spirit, let us know. And at some point, you will have some official name before you, and you'll be aware of. And we have a process here, so those who are members will have the opportunity not only to meet the potential candidate, but then there's an election process which affirms and confirms what we feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we want to get this right. Amen? Amen. I want to get it right. I want to be excited about what happens. And so I know you do as well. So we'll continue to make Mondays a day of prayer for Portland Christian Center. So in a moment, I want to read from God's Word this morning from Ephesians chapter 4 in our Together series. Ephesians chapter 4. In 1960 and 1961, the NFL season was a disaster for the famed Green Bay Packers. Now, I'm not a Green Bay Packer fan. I have friends who are Green Bay Packer fans. I'm a Seattle Seahawk fan, if you just want to know, okay? Some of you like other teams, and it's not going to send you to heaven if you don't like the Seahawks, but my brother from another mother, Russell Wilson, is my good friend, quarterback, Christian guy, loves the Lord, and so I'm for the Seahawks, but the Green Bay Packers had a disastrous season in 1960 and 61. So in 61, when they came back to training camp on the very first day, the famed coach, Vince Lombardi, stepped into the locker room, and he lifted up a football, and this is what he said. Gentlemen, this is a football. These are guys that are making a lot of money playing football. They've been playing it since they were kids. Gentlemen, this is a football. Now, there were three things he was trying to establish. First of all, he wanted to revisit all the fundamentals of football. Remember, they came off the worst season they had had in many, many years. It was a disastrous season. He wanted to reestablish the fundamentals. He also wanted to cast vision to say where we're going to go, what we're going to try to accomplish in this next season. And he also wanted to make sure they were unified. Everybody was on the same page. The same page. Gentlemen, this is a football. And for football historians, they would say they will never forget what happened that next season as a result of that brief speech by Vince Lombardi. And what God is doing by His Holy Spirit at Portland Christian Center, we should be very thrilled with and excited, because it will be something that will be historic. And in fact, the Lord is going to use this church and you individually to make a change in the culture of Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, if you haven't recognized or heard recently, has a bad reputation. Portland, Oregon, when you mention it, people already draw conclusions whether they've ever been here or not. And even yesterday, what a tragedy in our city with shootings and the death of a young girl in Northwest Portland on 3rd. God's going to do something by His Holy Spirit, and we want to be ready. And He wants to help us get ready. Look at verse number 1 of Ephesians 4. Everybody with me this morning, say, we're with you. For this reason, it says, Paul's writing, and we're moving into the second half of the book of Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before it goes on to say, I'm reading in the wrong place here, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Being completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I'd like to read that again very slowly with you, because this is the key text of the study this morning in our conversation about together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And here's the key verse, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Would you say that with me out loud? Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's try it again so everybody gets the chance to join me. Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now let's be real honest this morning. We all like unity better than disunity, right? Unity feels a lot better than disunity. Have you ever taken a road trip with your family and it's been disruptive and chaotic and drives you absolutely nuts? You're tempted to pull over and say, okay, everybody out of the car and I'll see you later. Have you ever, you know, don't do that, but I'm just saying, unity is a lot better than traveling with chaos and conflict. Unity is a lot better when you play on a sports team or coach a sports team that everybody's on the same page. It's not everybody for themselves, it's everybody for together. Unity is a lot better when you're going in for surgery and before you go under, you hear the two doctors arguing over which hip they're going to replace. You want everybody on the same page. Unity sounds a lot better to me in that situation than disunity. And unity is a lot better in the church. Unity is a lot better in your personal life. It's a lot better in your marriage, in your family, than disunity. In fact, if you want to put in your margin or just write down Psalm 133, it's a short song in the songbook of the Bible, the book of Psalms, Psalms 133. It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And then if you go to the very end, it says this, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So, unity brings blessing. Got it? Unity brings blessing. That's where God's blessing is when we're unified. Unity brings blessing to families. There is something about walking into a situation in a family where there is unity that is much better because there's blessing than when there's disruption and arguments and people are hating each other and expressing things. Unity on a team, and I've played on teams that are unified and teams that are not. And certainly, I want to just underscore this morning because we're in this series called Together, that unity in the church is extremely important. And we're to make every effort we can to contribute to the unity of the church. Now, unity is more than just being friendly. Unity is more than just fellowship, shaking hands with somebody and smiling at them. It's much deeper than that. Unity implies harmony, and actually it implies completeness in your life. And that completeness comes as a result of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. That's why I could say there's somebody here this morning, you're in turmoil internally. On the outside, you look pretty good, but inside, you're in turmoil. And I want to just say, if you will surrender your life fully to the Lord in your midst of turmoil, God will bring peace to you and completeness. Because without Him, I don't care how much power you have, what position you have, how much money you have, how much personality you might have, without Jesus Christ in your life, you will never be complete. Does that make sense? That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the unity of God, the completeness of God in the body of Christ. And the unity is not just a human effort on our part here as we read deeper into this truth, but it is amazing. It's an amazing work of the Holy Spirit that unifies us. Unity is not just liking the same food or the same color or same style of music or the same schedule or the same sports or the same attractions. That's not unity necessarily. Unity is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that brings completeness, and as a result of that, it sets us up. So look at verse 1 again of Ephesians 4. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So Paul the Apostle is setting us up again to reemphasize what he's talked about in the first three chapters of this great book, Ephesians, which one of the key themes of the chapter is unity and togetherness. There is something about what he says in the earlier chapters. Now he's coming to what we would call the application portion. So generally in Paul's writings, you'll have the first portion of it as what we call foundational truths or doctrines. Then he has the application. It's one thing to believe, I've said before, it's another thing to behave. So some people are all into behavior. So when I was a kid in our church, you had a card and it had all the things you could not do if you were a member of this church. So they really emphasized the behavior. And on the other side, you have people who are really into belief. So they have all of their theology lined out so clearly. And they believe all of these things, but it needs to translate. What happens on Sunday needs to happen on Monday. You got it? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Doesn't it bother you when somebody professes to be something, but they live the opposite way? Doesn't that irritate you? Doesn't it make you mad? Oh, you're so holy, all of you. It just irritates me. Why would you believe in something and not live it? Or why would you have all these rules and not believe the right stuff? So that's what Paul's trying to do here. So Paul declares the truth about what really unites us. So it's really two sections that I'll look at this morning. There's so much more that we could look into, but I want to just give you a few thoughts here. And I want to move down to verses 4-5. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So what's the key word? See, you don't even have to go to seminary to know that, right? You don't have to have spent 6 years preparing for the ministry to know that there is a key word here. And he's saying one, one, one. You know, I'd like to talk to you. The first part is the essential truths that unite us. There's some things that unite us, and we've got to focus on that for, and that's what he's outlining here. So there used to be a company that produced some of the finest televisions in the United States, and it was called Zenith. It since has been purchased in 1995 by another company by the name of LG. You see LG televisions, LG dishwashers, LG this and that, and that's all the same company. They bought out Zenith, but Zenith, back in the day when they produced televisions, used to have a little slogan: the quality goes in before the name goes on. They didn't want their name on something if the quality wasn't what their standard of quality wasn't met. The quality goes in. And that's what happens when you open up your life to God. He begins to come and develop in your life your characteristics. And he builds it not on just how you feel, but on truth, the foundational truths. And these are the essentials. And it's this work that is amazing. So you sent me to Atlanta, Georgia, back many years ago to a conference. And we went into this huge arena, and there were 43,000 pastors in this arena, 43,000. Now that in itself is a miracle, to get a bunch of pastors together like that. And they were from all stripes and all walks of life. You had the real casual and you had the very formal. You had the fundamental and you had the evangelical. You had the reformed and the non-reformed. You had the Catholic priest and the Pentecostal preacher. They were all in this big arena. We had all come to unite ourselves together in one reason, is that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I experienced there was phenomenal. I saw as I listened to the music and the speakers, and I sensed the worship time, a unifying of brothers in the Lord who came from different dimensions of Christian faith. And I said to myself, and a friend of mine, his name was John, he was standing right next to me, I said, John, this is true revival right here. This is true revival. There are a lot of things that we probably don't agree upon, but one thing we do agree upon is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe that the Holy Spirit has developed a unity spirit. We could have taken on the world. This is God's intent for the church. And it's not based on emotion only or being in an arena. But God moved in a mighty way. There were whites, blacks, Asians, Hispanic, every stream of backgrounds that you can imagine. Hugging each other, praying with each other, blessing each other, washing each other's feet, worshiping together a God who brought them all together. They had very little in common in the style of ministry they were involved in, but they all loved Jesus. How does that happen? Well, here's the truths that unite us. Paul lists seven of them right here, one body. He's speaking here of the spirit of fellowship, the church. He's talking about there's one church. There may be many titles and streams of churches, and you know, First Baptist and Portland Christian Center and the Jesus Church and Rolling Hills and Athey Creek, and the list goes on. There's neighborhood, even in our fellowship in Oregon, there's all kinds of names, but we're all part of the body of Christ. Amen. And that's what he says, there's one body. There's one spirit. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. There is only one work of the Holy Spirit who is active in our fellowship. So ladies and gentlemen of Portland Christian Center, those that are in present and those who are online, I just want to tell you there's one Holy Spirit at work amongst us. You can sense his work even as I speak this morning in this service. And there is one hope. What's that about? There is one eternity. We all know that there's a heaven and there is a hell. And we are going to live for all eternity. This is not the end. And those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior have the assurance of heaven, have the assurance of heaven, a magnificent future. I am not worried about Portland Christian Center and its future. I am very confident because God's in charge and he's in control. And eternity is called that one hope, that great blessed hope. And we live with a God who is a God of hope. And then it says there's one Lord. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. There are not many lords. There's one Lord. This is what sets the Christian faith apart from any other religion in the world. Because Jesus is the only one that died for your sins, and he's the only one that beat death through the resurrection, and he reigns at the right hand of the Father in heaven today on your behalf and makes intercession every day for you. He is one Lord. There are two high school kids in Hawaii who had an experience with the Lord. They really loved Jesus. They were trying to figure out what could they do, and they created a logo. You probably have seen it and wondered, what does it mean? And if you'll show it on the screen right now, I want you to know, these two high school kids created this. He is greater than I. That's what it means. I saw it the other day on the back of a car. I've got a couple of shirts that have these logos. He is greater than I. And those two young men created this logo, started a shirt company, started printing this logo, and it's taken off, and they have done very well in business. But that's what it meant. They came to a place to say, God is greater than me. It's not about me, it's about him. He is greater. Do you see it there? You see it? He is greater than I, which leads me to the next step. He says, one faith. Number six, he says, these are the essentials that we are built around. One faith, which speaks of a singular commitment when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then he says, there's one baptism. This is the public confession. We've had a number baptized in water, even last week here, of people who publicly declare their faith. So it's one thing to privately pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And that's the means of salvation. But the Bible also teaches us that we now to declare it publicly. So here you're pretty safe to come into a service like this. But in some parts of the world, when people do that, their lives are threatened. They very well could be excommunicated from their family, or they could also be threatened with their life for sure. One baptism. So it's a public identification that I am a believer. And if you haven't been baptized, I want to encourage you to make sure you get signed up for the next baptism. Well, we baptize every month here, giving opportunity for that declaration. And then he says, you follow me now, these are all the essentials. He says, there's one God. There's not many gods, there's one God. It speaks of a heavenly Father who keeps his eyes on you and cares for you. Now, when I was a kid, I thought he was after me for every wrong thing I did. As an adult, I realized, no, he was watching out for me. He was walking with me to school so that dog wouldn't attack me or those bullies down the street wouldn't come after me. He was with me, sparing me stuff I don't even know I didn't go through because God cares about me. So Paul says, what unifies us? What unifies us? This is what unifies us, these essential truths that draw us all together. Now, that doesn't mean we all like the same food and we're going to all go to the same restaurant and we're all going to dress the same way or use the same products at home or whatever. That's not the issue. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be Republicans or all going to be Democrats or we're all going to be liberals or conservatives. That has nothing to do with the body of Christ. We are one faith and under one Lord. And that's what he lists here. That's why he says in verse 1 again, go back to it. I urge you, is this making sense? Yeah. You're either very seriously listening to me or you're saying, how much more time does we... I urge you to live, how do you say, I live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What's he talking about? He's talking about these essentials. He's talked about unity and harmony and togetherness in these opening chapters. He's not been there to correct us. He's just trying to help us. And then he says, these are the essentials that we build our unity on. Right. We keep the main thing the main thing. In 2004, Joy and I joined Sam Thanekel, and his wife is named Joy too. So Sam and I both have joy in our lives. And when you go on a flight together, you have two joys. So yeah, joy. And so anyway, we went to India, and we spent 2 weeks in India. And we went and ministered in a variety of situations and spoke. In fact, the largest number of people I've ever spoken to at one time was in India, 7,000 people. No, 70,000, sorry, 70. Let's make it more, 70 billion. No, it was seven. How many were in church today? Hundreds. All right, so 70,000 people. And we all took communion with a common cup. All I can tell you is you want to be a guest because you get the first cup drink. So, you know, while we were there, I ran into customs that I didn't understand. I didn't know the culture very well. Sam and Joy were trying to coach us to understand this is what you do, this is what you don't do. This is how you greet. They're going to have everybody who's anybody speak. So these gatherings go on forever. And, you know, there's all these things that are going to happen, all these routines and customs that I wasn't familiar with. But I want to tell you, even in that situation, I felt like it was with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we're unified not around custom or heritage. You know, American missionaries from the United States aren't going to change the culture. They're going to introduce Jesus Christ. That's the difference. We're not there, and people say, we shouldn't be sending missionaries here or there because we're going to affect their culture. We're not there to change their culture. We're there to accept, introduce them to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And so look at it again, please. There is one body, one spirit. Just as you were called, the one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What's the key word? One. Some of you need to go to seminary. Okay, one. I think it was Henry Ford who said, coming together is the beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success. So it should be our desire, Portland Christian Center, that as we move through the next few weeks and the next few months and into the completion of 2021, that we are unified, that together in unity is a lot better than together in disunity. Right. That's God's plan. So then, that's the essential truth. How about the essential action? And he carries that on in the next verse because he said, go back to verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Make every effort. Here's the application to the truths that we've just read. He says in verse, up in verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Now, you need to understand that there are... I've never met any perfect people. Oh, sorry, there's one person, my mother-in-law. She told me she was perfect. So she was, yes, maybe she was perfect. But because we're not perfect, we need to hear these things. And so he gives us four expressions, essentials of living out this unity. And this is how it works. You ready? This is a test. Ready? In order to be a healthy and thriving church, in order to be a healthy and thriving person, in order to have a healthy and thriving marriage and family, here's what you first of all, there needs to be the exhibiting humility will unite us. Exhibiting humility will unite us. Humility is not weakness. He uses the word here. Be completely humble, he says. Humility resists the idea that it's all about me. It's about him, and it's about others. Humility. I was in two meetings this last week where executive leaders said before their boards, I want to ask your forgiveness. And I sat there overwhelmed with their humility to say, listen, I didn't always get it right, so please forgive me. That's humbleness. That's what the church needs to experience. The humility of recognizing, as Jesus did, he humbled himself and became as a man, it says in Philippians, and we are to humble ourselves. And when we exhibit humility, that is one of the actions of the one Lord, one faith, one body, one spirit, one hope, one baptism, one God theology that comes and we work it out by living a life of humility. So let's all practice humility. It's not weakness. In fact, it takes great strength. The second thing he says is employing gentleness, because he says that we are, again, back here, be completely gentle. Gentleness. Gentleness speaks about extending a kind response than a harsh reaction. A kind response rather than a harsh reaction. I really got to work on this when I drive. There's something about getting behind the wheel of my car that I really have to ask the Lord to help me have a kind response. You follow me? Okay. There are other people are witnessing. Oh yeah, I feel that now. Yeah, I got it. I understand what you're talking about. There are other moments when the Lord has convicted me because I was harsh in my response rather than gentle. I had a harsh reaction rather. You know, it's interesting that 93% of your communication has nothing to do with your words, but it has to do with the manner in which you say it, the tone. Have you noticed that? You could say the same thing, but your tone will determine whether you're responding or you're reacting.
That's right. Yep, that's good.
With your kids. Your kids, I'm sure if you've had children, you know that there are moments when they don't bring out the best in you. Is anybody here married?
Yep.
I don't have to say any more, do I? Don't you talk to me like that. I wouldn't dare. Our culture, here's what the culture is, and you've seen it illustrated over and over again, even at your work. Our culture is all about being assertive. Being assertive. The Spirit tells us to be gentle. To be gentle. And it's the tone that he's talking about here. And then he says, in fact, remember Proverbs 15 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Then there's a third observation here of practical living. Extending patience. Extending patience will unite us. It causes us to avoid the quick and abrupt reaction and escalate a conflict. Perhaps you have heard short-tempered. Patience is long-tempered. And then a fourth is expressing love will unite us. No church can thrive or survive without these essentials in their life. The word love here actually is like covering the roof of a home. It's covered by love. You wouldn't buy a house, at least here, without a roof, because you want a roof to protect you from the rain, right? You want a roof to protect you from the wind, right? You want a roof to protect you from the rain, right? You want a roof to protect you from the heat, right? You want a roof to protect you from the rain. Did I mention rain? You want a roof to protect you from the elements. And that's what love does. It protects us. So Paul says, okay, here's the foundations, the oneness list of seven things. That's our theology. Here's the action. This is the practicality. This is how you live it out. With humility, gentleness, patience, and love. That's how you stay on the same page. That doesn't mean we all like Mexican food. That doesn't mean that we all like the Seahawks. That doesn't mean that we all vote one way or the other. It doesn't mean that we all came from the same background. It means that this is what unifies us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of love and peace. And we recognize that this means that this is the opposite of self-will. This is the opposite of phony pride. This is the opposite of stubbornness and resentment that can get in your spirit because somebody looked at you the wrong way or said the wrong thing, and it affects you. And some of you have carried that around for a while. I want to tell you, give that to God. Let him heal you and begin to walk in the freedom of this unity that God has in store.
Amen.
God has in store. So 34 years ago, this last week, I stepped onto this platform. I came through that door, stepped onto this platform for the first time in 8 years. I had not been in the building except one other time for a conference, and maybe one other time for a funeral. Joy and I had moved away. We weren't up living in Portland area at all. And I stepped in here. There was nobody in the room. It was totally empty. It had different pews. They were bright orange. It had a different carpet. It was beige. It reminded you something from the 70s. Because the building was built in the 70s, so that's why it was. It was pretty spectacular at the time. And as I stood here in silence, I had a divine moment, a God moment. God spoke to me. He showed me something that wasn't physically seen, but in the spirit realm, I could see something that wasn't actually physically here. I could sense that God was saying, both Joy and I felt God was saying to us, and there was a process, and we walked through that process, and the people of the church asked if we would come, and we were confirmed, and I'd come back 3 weeks later, and we had presented, we brought our little family. Phil, our son, who just turned 46, was going into seventh grade. He didn't wear socks then. He doesn't wear socks now. Christy was going into fourth grade, and Kimberly was going into second grade. When I told Phil we were going to move to Portland, he said, "I'm not moving to Portland. Do they have skateboards there? Do they have Van shoes?" I said, "I have no idea." So we came, and the power of God did some great things. This is a word that the Lord put in my heart to reset the church. The church had gone through a season of decline. I'm being honest with you. Some of you were here at that time. It was painful. It was unsettling. There were some faithful folks here. And we prayed for the wind of the Holy Spirit to come. One of the things that was in my heart, and it's still in my heart today, and I would say this is a word from the Lord for all of us, is Portland Christian Center is going to have to gear to the young and lean into the wisdom of the mature. Let me say that again. You're going to have to gear to the young, this current younger generation. You're going to have to gear for them. You're going to have to create moments and opportunities for them to connect and understand and speak their language. You're going to have to do that. But at the same time, we're going to lean into the wise. When we came, there were many mature, seasoned saints. There was a number of Ruick family members that were in this church. And I want you to know, they prayed and celebrated every time they saw a young person come to this church. The Contis used to sit on the second row right there. They could have been my grandparents. They would come down every Sunday and say, "Pastor Bill, I love the message." They'd heard more sermons than I could ever preach. They cheered me on, and they prayed for every young person. Families like that who committed themselves to gear for the young and lean into the wisdom of the mature. So this isn't 2007, nor is it 1987, all those years ago. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is resetting the work of Portland Christian Center. He is getting you ready for a great spiritual awakening. And we all need to be on the same page. Amen. We need to be unified. There will be adjustments in style and methodology. I'm just telling you the truth. There will be a lead pastor who perhaps leads in a different manner than you've ever known. That's good. That's good. The mission of the church will not change. The message of the church will not change. But how we deliver the mail will it be adjusted. To reach your kids, your great-grandkids, the prodigals who have gone away, the Lord's getting ready. The Lord's getting ready. The pandemic is just going to be a blip in the screen, a bump in the screen, or whatever, a blip in the screen. That's what I knew if I said enough B words, I would come to it. Blip in the screen for right now. Because the Lord is going to start bringing people in from the north, the south, east, and the west. I prophesy over you today, Portland Christian Center. Because what I saw in 1987 as I stood here at 35 years old. 35! I used to spend $80 to curl my hair. Don't do it. This is what happens. 35. Vince Lombardi stood there with and said, gentlemen, this is a football. This is a football. He wanted to bring back the fundamentals. He wanted to cast vision. And he also wanted to get everybody on the same page. And the amazing thing is that team that had a disastrous season, that season, 1961, went on to win three world championships one year after another. Five in the next 7 years. Amazing what took place. And I wonder what God's going to do at Portland Christian Center. I wonder what God's going to do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now these are people who Christ gives. They're the gifts of Christ. So these are different than the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the motivational gifts of Romans chapter 12. These are individuals who he has given to the church, and this is the reason, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, right? Until we, here's the word, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you could read on, you would see that he doesn't want us to be like infants, tossed to and fro by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching or all of the false stuff that goes out there on the internet, or because some person said, thus saith the Lord, everybody thinks it's from God. He said, don't be taken in by all that. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's what we are. We're united together. That's his intent. So here's my takeaway this morning. Stay connected. Stay connected. You were born to belong. Stay committed. Stay committed. You were created for community. And those of you who are watching online and you've wondered, shall I come back to the building? The doors are wide open. Come on back. Be a part of us. And if you're watching from another part of the world, find a church nearby if you can that you can be a part of. You need community. And finally, stay caring. You were formed for fellowship. So he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Together in unity. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, we thank you this morning for your presence in the building today. In this moment of sacred moment in which you speak to us by your Holy Spirit, with your heads bowed, and perhaps you're watching online today, and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you, if you want to pray that prayer, just lift your hand, just lift it all over the auditorium and wherever you are this morning. And pray this prayer aloud. Everybody pray it aloud with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me the person you want me to be. Unite your church in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's sing together.
Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall.
fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
That prayer, you found a church home that cares about you. We have great ministry opportunities here, and you can talk to anybody just before the day's over. Turn to somebody, talk to them at home or here. Just say, you know, today I fully surrendered my life to Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace in your coming and going. May you know when you walk through these doors, you don't go by yourself. He goes with you. And if God is for us, he can be. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.